It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and running for the second full week of November 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us, and that's where you'll find access to the chat room. Click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of a really, really good Moran Monday crowd in there tonight. It's darker than the hubs of hell here. It's 6 o'clock in the Eastern time zone, and I'm going to hate this time of year. But anyway, you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead and Otto and Urban and V.T. Blom and the Warrior Witch and more to come. And, of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave on a lovely, not smoky day in Northern California. It's up in the 70s there. I told Sparky earlier, here where I am... We have entered the season of the freezing, and it's a toasty 55 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the amazing Horn Mansion. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and if you go over to HeadOn.live, you might notice a PayPal button there if you'd like to become a subscriber, for all of something like a 20th or a 30th of a cup of corporate coffee per hour of programming, become a monthly subscriber at $10. Well, we would welcome that. And on, back on the 10th, we have thanks to send out to our buddy Don and Judy, and thanks very kindly to Daniel. That was the 10th. Then along came Sunday, the 11th, yesterday. At which point in time, we had thanks to send out, or have them now, because, you know, this is how it works with the weekends. We have thanks to send out to Mary Bell. Thank you, Mary Bell. And thank you very kindly to our pal, Christopher. Thank you, Christopher. Thanks indeed to, see, that's the thing. Sometimes they come in with, like, initial names and names of businesses and things like that. But anyway, thanks to S. Andrews. And thanks to Libby. Thanks very kindly to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thanks to Tony in Chico. And thanks very kindly to John. Thank you very much indeed. And then along came this morning... And thanks go out to a different Christopher. I hope you know who you are. And to Angelica. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to Gary. And thanks as well to Paul. And thanks very much indeed to Mark. So those are all our subscribers. The last list there, you'd be joining them if you subscribed this evening. And remember, it's just something to think about. If we got one new subscriber every evening between, you know, now and roughly November of next year, doggone it, we'd have all our fundraising taken care of, and I wouldn't be talking about all this all the time. So thank you very kindly, one and all. I have another thank you to send out by way of... there we are. Thank you very kindly to Joan. Joan, thank you very much indeed. Joan jumped in after Friday on the Front Porch was over, and so consequently, I can happily say that this evening's fundraising goal is only $175. Isn't that nice? $175. Thank you, Joan. Thank you very much. I don't know if Joan realized she was making life better on Monday, but she did. Thank you, Joan. So we've only got $175 to raise this evening. If you would like to help knock that down by becoming a subscriber, that would be awesome. It would be wonderful, even. And again, the PayPal interface is over at headon.live. So too, the Patreon button. If you'd like to just have it all come out on the have it come out on the first of the month, and not worry about 12ths or 11ths or 13ths or 6 and 7 8ths or anything like that, right? But it's nice. We've got a fresh week, and fundraising was taken care of. I paid a great big whopping bill over the weekend, and it's nice not to be sweating. So 175 to go for the evening, 10 at 1750, or 17 and a half people at 10, and that's always troubling, that half a person. Mm-hmm. Thank you very kindly to Scott out in San Diego. The audio is barreling through on both streams like Fred Silverman's Super Train. Oh, my God, I'd forgotten that. That was terrible. Was he also responsible for the thing that McLean Stevenson left MASH for? Hello, Larry. Was that another Fred Silverman special? Meanwhile, the horn community that happens to be under 35 is going, who's Fred Silverman? Well, that's what the Google's for. It's Moran Monday, and Lord God, we've got a bumper crop. Oh, yes, we do. We got a ton. But before we get started, I know comic book fans all around the world are grieving the loss at the age of 95 of Stan Lee. He had a kind of a tough time of it in his later years as people began hovering around him trying to get their hands on his estate. But at 95, Stan Lee is gone, having given us, God, how many cultural icons? Spider-Man, the Hulk, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Thor? Is that, yeah, yeah. And on and on and on. His was a very fertile and creative mind. And you get the idea that he, based on some of the storylines, you get the idea that he had a pretty solid working knowledge of mythology. I mean, Thor kind of, yeah. Okay, yeah, thank you, Warrior Witch, in the chat room. Yes, Thor. Okay, good. Because, I mean, there's Marvel and there's DC and then there's the other one. DC is Batman. Yeah, I get that. And then Superman was the other one. Sorry. I'm a little, yeah. I'm not in a foul temper or anything. It's just that today, I guess, is the Monday holiday part of Veterans Day. Yesterday, the actual 100th anniversary of the armistice at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918, when a war came to an end, the likes of which most of the world had never seen, and they hoped never to have it happen again. Hope in one hand,
And there's a lot of history behind why it did happen again. But I noticed over on our pal Beth in Dallas's feed, she had an excerpt from a book. Huh? Wait, see, I hate it when this happens. Arnold said, no program tonight. It sounds like a rerun on TuneIn. No, I'm not a rerun to the best of my knowledge. Yeah, oh, well. And there's no way it should be. But then again, I have no control over TuneIn. But anyway, Beth, over on her page, posted an excerpt from Eddie Rickenbacker's autobiography titled simply Rickenbacker, published in 1967. This was stirring. There are some accounts of what happened at that 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, but none quite like this. Eddie Rickenbacker was, of course, a pilot, a very early one, and an early leader of, what was it, Eastern? Was it Eastern Airlines? Or was it Delta? At any rate, he wrote, whew, language, word knowing. I glanced at my watch. 1 minute to 11, 30 seconds, 15. And then it was 11 a.m., the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. I was the only audience for the greatest show ever presented. On both sides of no man's land, the trenches erupted. Brown uniformed men poured out of the American trenches, gray-green uniforms out of the German. From my observer's seat overhead, I watched them throw their helmets in the air, discard their guns, wave their hands. Then all up and down the front, the two groups of men began edging toward each other. Seconds before, they had been willing to shoot each other. Now, they came forward. Hesitantly at first, then more quickly, each group approached the other. Suddenly, gray uniforms mixed with brown. I could see them hugging each other, dancing, jumping. Americans were passing out cigarettes and chocolate. I flew up to the French sector. There it was even more incredible. After 4 years of slaughter and hatred, they were not only hugging each other, but kissing each other on both cheeks as well. Star shells, rockets, and flares began to go up, and I turned my ship toward the field. The war was over. And when I read that, it just, well, I wanted to share that, because I don't think we can conceive of something like that. But it really happened. And it happened 100 years and 1 day ago. It was momentous. And there was a reason that Europe gathered yesterday in Paris to commemorate that 100th anniversary of the armistice. And, you know, since January the 20th, 2017, this program has in many ways chronicled the various and sundry embarrassments and frustrations and pains of having a monumentally self-absorbed, ignorant horse's ass in the White House. But yesterday and the day before felt like another, like we'd opened the trap door to another subterranean level of the depths of the perfidy, of the betrayal, of the disloyalty, the dishonor, and the outright un-Americanness of Donald J. Trump. He had been supposed to attend a memorial at the Ein Marne American Cemetery, not far from the Meuse River, where American forces stopped the last great advance of Kaiser Wilhelm's Wehrmacht in the summer of 1918. As a child, I got to meet some of the Americans who went over there, singing a song called, curiously enough, Over There. One of them came home on my mother's side of the family and more or less puttered around at farming for the rest of his days on the same farm where he had been born and was never capable of doing much more because, among other things, he had suffered from what back then they called shell shock and what we now call post-traumatic stress disorder. He went whole to Europe and came back some shattered portion of whatever he had been leaving. And was a very old man by the time I met him as a child. And the rest of the family, my mother included, spoke in low tones. Her mother, my uncle's older sister, as well mentioning that he wasn't quite right. Because we, in many ways, we lacked a vocabulary for it. But the battle in the summer of 1918 that stopped the final great offensive of Kaiser Wilhelm's Wehrmacht, well, a big portion of it took place, as many of you know, at a place called Belleau Wood, Le Bois de Belleau, B-E-L-L-E-A-U. God, you can look it up. There are some photos. The United States Marine Corps had a tremendous hand in that battle. And they did what Marines, U.S. Marines, are famous for doing, namely the impossible. Because they engaged, part of the front had been breached, and they engaged in a 10-kilometer forced march to plug up the hole. And they laid down a withering fire and got chewed to pieces in the process. But things had gotten so bad that by the time they got there, a French commander looked at the American Marine colonel and suggested he retreat. he and the troops retreat, fall back into the trenches behind them. And that American colonel said, "Retreat!" And you can almost hear the twang in his voice. "Retreat? Well, hell, we just got here." And among other things, the French witnesses to it, the military witnesses to it, were astounded at the accuracy of the marksmanship of those Marines. Later on, General Blackjack Pershing would say that the deadliest weapon on earth is a Marine and his rifle. And having once upon a time been to the football stadium at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, I was somewhat, well, not so, I was awed. Other football stadiums have the numbers of Heisman Trophy winners painted on the stands around the stadium. I don't suppose they've changed it since that time many years ago when I was there. But at the United States Naval Academy's football stadium, they have simply names of places. And I remember seeing that day the two words, Bellow Wood. The United States Marine Corps on that day, as well as elements of the United States Army, fought like cornered animals, refused to be defeated, and died and died and died and died. In the course of just a few days, thousands were dead. And that was the cemetery that this man, who purports to be the President of the United States, declined to visit that day. The initial, and I'm disgusted. I didn't, I never served in the military. I took a run at it, and it didn't work out, and so I moved on. But I was taught respect and for those who serve. It is entirely separate and apart from the decisions made by people who never hear shots fired in anger. But the ones who serve, I was taught to respect. And so I do. And tens of thousands of young Americans did not come home. We lost far fewer in that war than the French or the Germans or the British or the Italians or the Austrians or the Hungarians or God knows the Russians. But the respect remains. And so when the news broke that citing bad weather, i.e. a little bit of rain and some fog, you know, you get rain and fog in Western Europe in, the first couple of weeks of November, that Cadet Bone Spurs had declined to attend the memorial ceremony there and had instead sent actual military officers in his stead because it was raining. When the shit began to hit the fan, the White House scrambling said, the president could have, he didn't want to disrupt Paris with his motorcade. Which was also bullshit. I could make a comparison to, say, Achilles sulking in his tent on the beach in the Iliad, but then again, that would be a diminution of the myth of Achilles, because Achilles did fight. Achilles didn't bail out and claim bone spurs. So that doesn't work out. You know, there really isn't... Benedict Arnold, before he turned traitor, Benedict Arnold was a brilliant general. Stand by, please. Sorry about that. Yeah, I got it. I just had to, that was a call coming in that had to be taken. It just, you know, these things happen. The fact of the matter is, Donald Trump was afraid to get his hair wet. He's had a lot of rain problems lately, Trump has, and he's afraid of it. And so he embarrassed our nation by refusing to honor the fallen of 100 years ago. And for that matter, every other veteran who has ever served as well. But that was just the beginning. This is, after all, Moran Monday, and we have a Moran among Morans in the President of the United States. But like I said, it was just the beginning. The next day, the actual armistice observation at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, world leaders walked arm in arm down the Champs-Élysées to the ceremony at L'Arc de Triomphe. Well, world leaders, that is, well, Donald Trump isn't a world leader now, is he? He's a national disgrace. He's a national embarrassment. He ain't a world leader. He showed up later in a car, again, because it was raining. And his master, Vlad Putin, showed up late, too. And there's a photograph that shows Emmanuel Macron, who I know is not particularly popular in his own country for a variety of reasons, but was behaving like a statesman, nonetheless. And Angela Merkel, and the photo is taken from the back of Big Bad Vladdy Daddy's head. And they're looking daggers at him. And Donald Trump is looking at him like Putin has an armful of fucking roses for him. It was disgusting. And then they played a little hand jive with each other, you know, tapping each other on the on each other's shoulders. And then all of a sudden, Donald puffed himself up and fluffed his coat out. It was disgusting. Sickening. It was a betrayal. But it was just one betrayal on top of many betrayals. Betrayals that go back to well before he was president and he was eagerly accepting money from the Russian mob, which for all intents and purposes, sweet, huggable, lovable, cuddleable, pooty-poot controls. Jesus, he disgusts me. But again, that wasn't all. Nope. Because there was supposed to be a summit of world leaders talking about maintaining the peace going forward. Yeah. But instead, the Marmalade Mugabe got back in Air Force One and flew home. Because the parade hadn't been fun for him. Because it wasn't sunny and beautiful. And instead, he was going to be asked to honor someone besides himself. And so he got back here. Home. Merca. And it just kept getting worse. Because today, being Monday, the 12th of November, was supposed to be the official laying of the annual commemorative wreath at the cenotaph, otherwise known as the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It, by the way, in the cemetery at Ain Marne in France, there are hundreds, I believe, of unmarked graves of young Americans who were incapable of being identified. And if you take a moment to think about what must be entailed with that, it is a horror all of its own. Graves with pieces of human beings in them. Graves with human beings in them who, by the time they were finally discovered in the mud or in a shell crater, were so far past decomposition as to be unidentifiable. This is what Donald Trump showed so much disdain for. And make no mistake, the rest of the world knew it. The rest of the world recognized it. And were disgusted by it. One particular moment of note came with came from Justin Trudeau. Who offered his own remarks, because in that slaughter of 100-plus years ago, Canada began bleeding and sacrificing long before the Americans did. Americans who wanted to fight, in many instances, signed on to fight in the Canadian forces. And so it was that Justin Trudeau stood in the rain and burned Donald Trump to the ground. Remember, it's raining. He's standing under an umbrella.
Today, we honor those who fought with such grit and valor on the beaches of France. As we sit here in the rain.
At which point, he takes the umbrella off from over him and stands there and lets the rain pour down upon him. Because his head, the hair on his head, won't melt and leave him looking like a bad community theater's idea of riffraff from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Nor will Justin Trudeau's skin color run in the rain.
Thinking how uncomfortable we must be these minutes as our suits get wet, and our hair gets wet, and our shoes get wet, I think it's all the more fitting that we remember on that day in Dieppe, the rain wasn't rain, it was bullets. As we stand here 75 later with this duty and this act of remembrance, it is all too fitting. Today and every day, we recommit ourselves to the pursuit of peace and justice for all. Today and all days, we remember.
Indeed. Indeed. Emmanuel Macron called him out as well, saying that nationalism is treason against everything that a world that hopes not to slaughter itself holds dear. But like I said, the shame was not in an end. The shame continued. Because, you see, George W. Bush, as much as I despised him, showed up for the laying of the wreath at the tomb of the unknown. God knows Barack Obama did. But Donald Trump today, well, they declared at 10 a.m., let me see, what's the official term for it? They've got all this lingo they use. At 10 a.m., they declared there would be a lid on presidential appearances. And a lid, it was explained, means there will be no further presidential movement. That, in turn, meant that no, Donald Trump would not leave his room, would not get out of his jammies, or perhaps was had been so pilled to the gills for the last few days that they just couldn't quite get him chemically up to speed enough to get him to Arlington and not have him make a spectacle of himself. How any member of the United States military can hold any respect for that monstrosity, that misanthrope, that pathetic excuse for a member of the human race, the best part of whom ran down his mammy's leg, I will never know. Yeah, they explained that a lid meant no presidential movement. No presidential movements that day? I thought they called that a presidential butt plug. And meanwhile, I'm sure the maggots are just fine with it all. But Christ Almighty, you let Barack Obama fail to show up for the laying of the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown? There would have been Klansmen marching down Pennsylvania Avenue carrying ropes. Make no mistake. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut, subject line, perfidy. Oh, by the way, before I get to the email, just a statistic for you, if we please. In the time since he has been president, and maybe before then, Trump has attended 66 maggot rallies since his inauguration. And he's gone golfing 154 times as of October 2018, but not once has he visited any American troops in a combat zone. I disagree with our ongoing presence in Afghanistan. I disagree strongly. But by God, if you want to parade around and call yourself the commander-in-chief, you'd best get over there once in a while to see the folks who are doing your dirty work. But no. Not old bone spurs. Hell no. 66 maggot rallies and 154 rounds of golf. Reckon it ever rains on the golf course? Yeah, but he can wear a baseball cap. He can wear his maggot cap then. and that one long strand of hair that forms that elaborate comb over, and it runs down to his fucking ankles. Well, that can be covered up. Sometimes the goddess of irony, well, he's in her hands. And she thumped him over the last 4 days. And hopefully America paid attention. No, as Darlene wrote, the rain was too much for the big baby Trump. Yet he stands in judgment of football players that bend on one knee during the national anthem. A Republican official I served with was extremely upset that these players bent down on one knee, taking it as a personal affront to her late husband who died serving a tour in the Middle East. She bought the BS Kool-Aid from Trump and Fox News that the peaceful and poignant protest against racism in this country was a stab in the back to her late husband and other servicemen and women. She was clearly in pain over this false equivalency, practically in tears. But I'm extremely curious how she feels about what that horrid, poor excuse for a U.S. president did yesterday in France. I am appalled and sickened by his continuing lack of appreciation for our veterans. Yet he had the audacity to criticize President Obama recently for what he supposedly did to harm and endanger the military. Like I said, Darlene, he is in the hands of the goddess of irony. He said that, I'll never forgive Barack Obama for what he did to our military. This in response to Michelle Obama saying she would never forgive him for being the racist fucking birther that he is. I'll never forgive Obama for what he did to our military. And then, you know, well, it shows that he doesn't give a tinker's damn about the military. Never has, never will. None of those Trumps have served. All the way back to Grandpappy Trump, the pimp. No, really, the pimp. He was a pimp. It's not a joke. Grandpappy was a pimp, Daddy was a Klansman, and, well, Trump is Trump. You might say a combination of the two. But even Grandpappy Trump, remember, got thrown out of Germany because he was a coward. There's a yellow streak that runs through that family, wider than the 405, and I take it that's a pretty wide damn highway. Wider than the downtown connector in Atlanta, Georgia. They're yellow. Maybe that's why he's so fond of that urine-colored snake flag. Anyway, Darlene continues, not sure what the hell he was even talking about, but it was in retaliation, to Mrs. Obama's book. Never mind the fact that the Obamas made military families a central focus of the administration, and military personnel loved them for it. Trump continues to be such a gross embarrassment to this country. Go ahead, Lindsey Graham Cracker, Mitch McConnell et al. Keep making excuses. All of you disgust me. Indeed. Indeed. Lee in New York. Subject line, rain. Howdy, Bob. Howdy, Lee. Don't you know? Of course he cannot stand in the rain. I saw the Wizard of Oz. If an evil witch gets wet, the result is the witch melts. The reason is so simple. And while Lee is being facetious, there is an element of truth to it. His elaborate coiffure can't tolerate the rain. Remember, previously, in the midst of the horrors from the slaughter at Tree of Life Synagogue, he turned attention to himself and said he was having a bad hair day. Steve in New York says, let's not forget he didn't go to Arlington today because of the rain. Yep, rain forecasted all day long. Read that earlier, and I thought of that one line from Van Morrison's It Stoned Me, where he just, with that, in only the way he can, Van Morrison sang, think it's going to rain all day. Yeah. Ron in Raleigh says, speaking of the jag-off in chief, on last Friday's broadcast, a lady was sitting in for Brad. She explained that she was not going to call Donald Trump a liar because she could not discern his intent. And you have to know what a person's intent is to determine whether they're lying or not. The fact that he's been shown to be pathological in his need to lie about everything, wouldn't the preponderance of his lies label him a liar? Would you have to parse each statement he makes to decide if he's lying or not, or would the propensity to lie about everything negate the need for such analysis? I'm asking for a friend. Well, friend, that's that same that's that same train of thought that says, gosh, oh golly gee, we can't use funny names for him because, I don't know. And along the way, you know, I thought about, because, well, when we were putting together the Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle Friday night, our buddy Mark jumped in, and Mark's called in from time to time. Mark is a Marine. You know, just because you muster out doesn't mean you're not a Marine anymore, or so I'm told. But Mark helped out in the Community Made Miracle on Friday. And, you know, at the end of every phone call, Mark closes his calls by saying Semper Fi. Semper Fidelis. Always faithful. Unto the end. It harkens back to the stone that was placed at Thermopylae after the Spartans held off the Persians at that narrow pass, dying to the last man, but at the same time providing the other Greek city-states an opportunity to mount a defense. And that stone was said to read, and maybe it still does, I don't know. Go tell the Spartans, stranger passing by, that here, obedient to their laws, faithful to their laws, we lie. Always faithful. And even if Geezer Disgustus doesn't know about Bellow Wood, even if names like Palilu have never entered into his consciousness, General James Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, by God, I know, knows what Bellow Wood means. And I wonder just how far James Mattis has sold out his own soul to remain Defense Secretary of the United States of America. Because, and I heard over the course of the weekend from Marines who were almost blind furious with rage. Because even a PFC Marine knows what bellow wood means. And so, how could James Mattis not, upon the arrival of Donald Trump back in the United States, meet him in the Oval Office and say, "You cowardly little shit-eaten punk, I quit. Fuck you. You can't show up at the cemetery for the dead of Bellow Wood. Fuck you into a million tiny pieces. Fuck you. You un-American, cowardly, yellow-bellied pissant." But there's been no word that James Mattis did that. Nope. No word at all. And then there's the man that Trump sent in his place, a man nicknamed Fighting Joe Dunford, Nineteenth Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, 36th Commandant of the Marine Corps, 4-star Marine General. When Donald Trump couldn't get wet in the rain, he sent General Fightin' Joe Dunford in his stead. And I guess Fightin' Joe Dunford snapped off a salute and said, "Yes, sir." And somehow or another found his way to Ayn Marne Cemetery in the rain, not particularly concerned for the quality of his fucking hairdo. But he let Donald Trump shit all over the U.S. Marine Corps, and he didn't quit either. And didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. So there's that. It's just the tip of the iceberg. But damn the embarrassment. Subject line, Boolean logic. Lee says, "It's so simple. Let us call a statement made by Trump A. Then he makes a contradictory statement. We can call this not A. In Boolean logic, A and not A is always false. It does not matter if A or not A is the one that is false. The two together are always false. Is Donald Trump a liar? Yes, and proven thus." Oh, but I hate that soft soap business of, "It's not nice to call him a liar.
He misspoke.
When something is obviously... And fuck that determining intent business, too. His intent has been made abundantly clear over the years. But some people still, you know... Well, I guess they lack the stomach for the fight. Oh, well. Hey, let's run over and see who's on the stress line. Welcome to the program.
Get the hockey puck, Bob.
Okay, I got it. Well, I don't need it. Everybody else gets the hockey puck.
From what I'm about to say, you're going to need it.
Okay, what's up?
I made the mistake of listening to a local radio station today, and what I heard was both a punch of the gut, and not only that, I had to pick my jaw up off the floor, dust it off, and put it back in my mouth.
Oh, dear.
I don't know. This local radio station, I had to take my dog to the vet today between noon and 2 p.m., and I don't know who this host, I may end up emailing you who it was so you can listen to a sample for yourself. But what I heard today, I'm lucky I didn't crash the car with the dog in it.
Jeez.
This fool opens his program. He opens his program by reading a letter going on, first of all, about how he's mad that some people were grumpy and out of sorts on Veterans Day. And this man is, like, going to get his coffee or something because people are grumpy and out of sorts in a line. When he's going to get something, he tries to be friendly. But because they're not sufficiently happy enough on Veterans Day, he's all mad and impatient with people who can't sufficiently just honor what, you know, what Veterans Day is all about. This becomes important later. I was at the vet, so I'm just sitting here. Like, he was reading a letter for this guy who fought, and this letter was saying, no, American doesn't have proper appreciation of war heroes, and the purpose of a war hero is to kill people to protect their country, and I wish people would just be, you know, we sidestep it, and we don't look at it accurately enough, and I wish people just be honest and said, thank you for killing for me, and I didn't know how to take that, but by then I was at the vet, so I was like, I'm going to turn this off because I have no idea where he's going with this. So, an hour later, I come back out in my car, and it's on that same station, and this fool is taking calls about how he's impatient with people who aren't properly celebrating or solemnified on Veterans Day, and they're just not properly appreciating Veterans Day.
What's he want? Funny hats and what's he want? Funny hats and noisemakers?
Apparently, but he takes this call from this dude, this maggot, who goes on about how he's all fired, pissed off that the media lied that Trump, you know, he really was out in Paris because there was a photo of him visiting a cemetery, and they lied, and he said he couldn't make it out in the rain, and they lied, and gosh darn it, this was gearing up to be a civil war, and he didn't know where, what other direction he was going to take it, but people need to be prepared. So I'm sitting here like, this went back to what you said about, you know, how they're just itching to shoot people. And I'm sitting here listening. This is in my own, this is a local station, Bob, in my state. And I'm sitting here like, are you freaking kidding me? Then it got better. He took a call. The next caller calls in, and this dude goes off the deep end, and he's like, he makes the point of I'm tired of saying, he goes long around the ways of saying, well, I'm tired of veterans being marched off to wars that, you know, for money. And I, at first I was like, okay, well, I can get behind that. Well, then he goes off and he goes, well, it's about AIPACs and funding politicians, and they march off to war to help build that wall, and then they find out the wall's in Israel. And if any more soldiers die for Israel, I'm going to break my head open. Okay.
Huh?
Then the host of the radio program. Oh, yeah. Then the host of the radio program goes, oh, well, why didn't we just Nagasaki Israel? We have the bomb. We need to just not be afraid. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And then he goes, we have the bombs. We just need to not be afraid to use them.
Wait, the Nazis were out?
Apparently, because I was sitting there like, I'm driving, Bob. I'm driving home.
I mean,
hold
on just, I mean, I don't mean hold on. You know what I mean. I mean, there is an Israel story out there this evening, and it's deeply disturbing. The Israelis raided Gaza Sunday night, killed a Palestinian officer and six Palestinian, I guess. Well, you know how it is. It could be a Palestinian baby in a crib, and they'd still, that was Palestinian soldiers, what that was. But they along the way, they lost an Israeli colonel. So they swapped one Israeli life for seven Palestinian lives. And there's the potential for Gaza to just blow right up. So maybe that's what had them worked up.
What got me worked up is this dude is, like, ready to... People are talking Civil War because people are just, plain grumpy on Veterans Day and not showing proper respect, and they're ready to go up in arms over that. But then for him to say, we should Nagasaki Israel, and, oh, we got to go
what
to
is,
a commercial
you
break.
Know what? We not, yeah, time out. We Nagasaki'd Nagasaki, and we Hiroshima'd Hiroshima. What say the United States not nuke any more countries? I mean, we're the only country that's ever nuked somebody, so let's hope maybe we learned our lesson from that.
I'm hoping so, too, but these morons are acting like they don't know what an A-bomb does. They're not even acting like they know what a nuclear bomb does.
Well, atomic and nuclear weaponry atomic and nuclear weaponry what passes for the minds of the White Wing are what you use to kill lots of brown people. I mean, there was a reason. Well, yeah, let's not go there. By the way, though, Steve from Georgistan says, let Megan know all she has to do is tune into Washington Journal on C-SPAN starting at 7 a.m. Every morning, and she'll hear those kind of calls daily. Don't take it to heart.
Oh, God. The reason why this scared the shit out of me is because I listen to you guys talk about it. You guys talk about it. We got horn collars all over the country and some out of the country. This was in my little backyard, and these people are talking like this. I live in a red county where people are not shy about, ooh, we're anti-gun control, so to speak. So I'm sitting here like, so now I'm like, wait a minute. And then he does this. And while later on I got home, I got my dog settled. Oh, no, here's the best part. I'm searching for trying to do research about who this host is, trying to get a sound clip for you to send the email in earlier today so you can hear what I heard.
Yeah.
And then this dude, I wind up listening to a little more of the program, and this dude was on with another caller who was from Arizona, and the caller from Arizona was all mad. Because apparently the host, who was all afired, pissed off that people weren't showing proper respect on Veterans Day, called John McCain a showboater, and that John McCain couldn't stop talking about himself, and that's why he didn't like John McCain.
Oh, so hold on. This was a syndicated program.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, I don't know if they piped it into our local station. I thought it was a local program. It's a local station. I had to listen to this, and I almost dropped the damn phone.
Well, I mean, unless it's a problem for you, what's the call sign of the station?
I'm sorry?
What are the call letters of the station?
I think it's WDEL 105.9.
W what?
Whatever shows on...
WDEL?
I'm sorry. Yeah, William David Elephant Larry 105.9. Whatever show... is on between 12 and 3 on weekdays.
Yeah, 101.7 FM, 1150 AM.
105.9.
No, WDEL is 101.7.
Oh, shit, that's the wrong one then. It said Delaware Local News and Radio, 105.9.
Okay, let's try that again. Let's try that then. D-E-L-A-D-E-R-A.
Could be.
Local News, 105.9?
Yep.
That's Delaware 105.9 FM News Talk.
I think the host name is Ed something or other.
Okay, well, you know they're right wing. They're running Dave Ramsey right now.
Oh, God.
Oh, let's see. Programs. Ed Till.
Yeah, I think that was him.
Yeah. Fiercely independent, Ed Till, outrageously hilarious, America's best talk radio, news, interviews, commentary, calls. WTKS FM Orlando, KLSX Los Angeles, WKRK Detroit. Till breaks away from the predictable fare on most talk shows. His unique provocative curiosity and his ability to instantly connect with audiences, often with laugh-out-loud humor, asks questions they have never been asked before on almost every relevant news and pop culture topic. Maybe he's trying to work, weekdays noon to three. Yeah, I've heard of this guy before.
Okay. I'm glad you have. A minute I heard that and he says, oh, we should just Nagasaki Israel. Oh, we need to go to commercial. I went, are you freaking kidding me?
No, okay, so.
And then he could.
Well, hold on. I want to try to be a little bit of a help here. I'm wondering if maybe he tries to work some of the shtick that Phil Hendry used to be so good at, probably still is so good at. Whatever he is, he's a right-wing POS.
Oh, but I thought he was an independent, Bob.
Well, independent is a Republican who wants to be able to smoke dope.
Wow, that's a good definition.
You got to just kind of step back, take a breath, find your happy place, letting go now.
I've tried, but it's Veterans Day, and Bob, I lost a high school boyfriend to the Iraq War, who didn't make his 10-year high school reunion, so maybe it hit me. Punch in the gut, probably a little bit more than.
Well, didn't you serve too?
Should have. Me? No.
Oh, okay.
I did not. I almost did, but that was right before.
I'm thinking of somebody else. But okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I spend my Memorial Day weekends out in Arlington National every year, or almost every year, and I'm not only giving flowers out there, but I've got extended family buried out there, and. It ain't just, you know, the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts, but it does something to you when you go out there and they've got whole sections of land blocked off ready for the incoming bodies. And the picnics out there and that the parents hold and they're reading books and they're eating right on top of the grave sites does something to you. Or at least it does to me. I don't know about anyone else. But they're sitting here talking about these conflicts like these people are Star Troopers. Like something out of Star Wars?
Yeah.
Like they're clones that they can manufacture and just send off to, you know. I'm sorry, but yeah, that kind of.
Well, if there's any comfort to be taken, it's not just this country. The actual Twitter account of the French army mocked Donnie Dimwit today.
They got their blue check mark and everything. Armée de terre, which is the name for the French army. Il y a de la pluie, mais c'est pas grave, on reste motivé. It rained a little bit today, but not bad. We remain motivated, and shows a French soldier crawling under barbed wire in the rain. I mean that's a first rate taunting. I haven't seen an English speaker taunted by the French like that since John Cleese stood at the top of the castle and said, "Now go away, or we shall taunt you a second time." Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries. That was good stuff.
First of all, I can't get behind anyone that. First of all, it sounds like they're supporting Donald Trump, but John McCain is somehow, I don't like him because he was a showboater. I'm sorry, who was the prisoner of war for some years?
No, I recognize, God, something makes me think, hold on, hey, Steve from Georgistan, wasn't this clown working in Atlanta at one point in time? I'm almost certain of it because I remember driving home from CNN and wanting to just reach through the speaker. I bet you.
So you understand the feeling.
Oh, yeah, he's a total twit.
Oh, man.
But again, full service radio program here. Don't turn on the radio. Okay, Megan, don't, because there's nowhere in America that a radio station is playing anything that you want to hear. So let me explain why a radio station would be running Ed Till. He's from noon to three in your market. Well, you know who else runs from noon to three?
Who?
Flush Flimball runs from noon to three. So this station is so down market that they can't afford Rush. So they go to one of these 16th tier talkers like Ed Till.
Oh, God.
Rhymes with shill. Yeah.
I'll be switching up my radio stations because I need to listen to music when I'm doing.
You know what? If you've got some way,
that just hit me out of nowhere because I thought it was a different sort of talk. I thought it was like
no. Do you have some way of plugging your phone into your car?
Yeah.
So don't listen to local radio. Don't listen to terrestrial radio. The music on terrestrial radio sucks. Okay, I mean it really does. And the talk only sucks more. So you're far better off finding something on your phone.
Well, I listen to you and stuff off of YouTube that I download. So, but you're the only radio station I listen to consistently. That because you all have the shows I can download.
If you got
recommendations, I'd love to hear them.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
I'm not sure. Who's on noon to three these days? But
I have absolutely no idea.
But I mean, there's Stephanie Miller in the morning, and you know, depending on what your taste is, and but I mean, if you get the Progressive Voices app, or if you go to tune in to Progressive Voices, there will always be a progressive talk program on at Progressive Voices. Some better than others, but there'll always be something there. So.
I think it was Stephanie Miller and Tom Hartman. The rest is like Nicole something or other.
Oh, Nicole Sandler.
Green News Report.
Nicole's good. You know. But I mean, I was just thinking about that noon to three slot you were dealing with. But I understand.
Yeah. I think
okay.
That's
so
Tom,
yeah.
If
so
I'm not mistaken,
yeah. Randy tells me Hartman's on from noon to three.
Okay. I don't know if they have shows you can download to listen to different.
No, you listen. You listen on TuneIn on your phone. It's not download. It's live radio.
Yeah, but I need, like, also something, like, in the early morning hours I'm delivering.
Again, if you go to Progressive Voices, there will be programming running.
From 2 in the morning?
Yeah, hell yeah. It'll be something from earlier in the day, but it'll be running.
Cool.
And, of course, you know, you can all... whenever Dr. Bill's on you for that early morning stuff, there's nothing better than Dr. Bill. You know, pick up.
Dr. Bill.
Yeah, pick up his RSS feed over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And
oh, okay.
And then you know, there's always the 24/7 stream that runs here. All you got to do is go to HeadOn.live and it'll and click and it'll play the audio on your phone.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Megan. And, you know, just, yeah.
I'm trying. It just hit me the wrong way today because, you know, that, yeah.
Right.
I shouldn't let it bother me, but it just.
There's another one you can look up. Let me get that real quick while I still got you. You can check.
Okay.
You can check out Workforce Rising.
Okay.
Is the dog coming in?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm waiting because. Another great talker, of course, is my buddy Rick Smith. And yeah, he's easy to get.
So Dr. Bill and Rick Smith.
Yeah, and also on at noon, of course, and this would be my preference, is Sam Cedar. Ron in Raleigh reminds me of that.
Sam Cedar, he sounds familiar. Have you had him on before?
I've been on his program.
Oh, okay. All right. I will look him up.
Yeah, okay. Ed Till was on in Atlanta. Let's see. He's been on in... L.A., Chicago, Philly, Detroit, Atlanta, Long Island, New Orleans, Seattle, Portland. He says he's a political independent with a libertarian and liberal bent.
Oh, boy. That should have told me enough right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Whew. See what happens when you're not prepared for it.
Yeah, I'm just...
But then this is the same station going on this morning. Someone else was on, not to get too off topic, but they were all serious about how House Democrats, not just impeachment, but they were like, oh, well, House Democrats, they really don't want to, you know, rock the boat with, you know, their majority. If they want to get reelected, they should just, you know, forego any kind of subpoena power or
being accountable at all.
And they should work with Trump and... Getting legislative stuff done.
Mitch McConnell can blow it out his ass.
Does anyone believe that this man's really going to work with House Democrats on anything? Or is anything going to get done in the legislature?
Oh, no, he'd be happy to work with House Democrats if House Democrats would get on their knees and blow him. You know, I mean, but...
Well, that's pretty much what Republicans mean by bipartisanship, but I was just blown away, like, for real. Like, after how many promises has the orange one, like, made and then reneged on?
Sure.
I lost count. But, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, there it is. Louisville Courier Journal had the story today. McConnell warns Democrats, don't harass Trump. Yeah. Apparently, the Louisville Courier Journal reporting Mitch McConnell this past Wednesday warned newly elected House Democrats against harassing Donald Trump. And the paper notes, despite McConnell's own sharply adversarial relationship with Democratic presidents. The whole issue of presidential harassment is interesting, McConnell said Wednesday morning. I remember when we tried it in the late 90s. We impeached President Clinton. His numbers went up, ours went down, and we underperformed in the next election. Yeah. Of course, he voted to convict. He voted guilty on the trial of Bill Clinton in the Senate.
I'm kind of curious, Bob, as to what your prediction is going to be with this House Democrat, Senate Republican Congress that we're walking into next year.
It's going to be a hot mess.
As to what you think is going to happen.
It's going to be a hot mess.
But like I said, there's no legislative achievements that are actually going to be made. It's just going to be gridlock.
Sometimes gridlock ain't necessarily a bad thing. Excuse me. Sometimes you need to stop bad things from happening, even if you can't make good things happen. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, it does to me, but I think the mainstream media has lost its mind because I've heard this been said like on MSNBC and CNN, and they have all these, you know, talking head pundits and experts that they come on and, oh, well, they shouldn't go after the president. You know, they need to focus on working with the president to get, you know, stuff done for what the American people want. And I'm sitting here like, at what point do you think that this man is going to come through with any of his promises? After 2 years of what we've seen, I'm like, are you serious right now? How do people not get this man only looks out for his own ass? And anything beyond his own ass, I mean, that's what this whole thing with Matt Whitaker is about. That's what this whole thing of firing Jeff Sessions is about. He's consistently going after Mueller. He's put down Rod Rosenstein, and that's just with the Mueller investigation.
Well, the funniest line.
You laid out what he did.
Yeah, the funniest line from McConnell last week was this. In looking at the race, I want to thank the president, McConnell said. He was extremely helpful to us in states where he is in good shape. The problem is there aren't that many states where he's in good shape. He was helpful, I guess, in Kentucky and Alabama and Mississippi. And that's about it.
So they truly just think that they can just coast by on elections by just appealing to their base and that's it. I shouldn't ask that question.
That's what he thinks. But the fact of the matter is, I want to see 1,000 investigations bloom. I don't want him to be able. I don't want Donald Trump to be able to go to the little traitor's room without somebody following him there with a goddamn subpoena.
Do you think that's what's going to happen?
I hope it is.
Coming out of the House.
I hope it is.
I hope it is, too. Well, can the Senate put the kibosh on any of these, or can the House just, you know, make them rain like confetti?
It's up to the individual chairman.
Oh, wow. So we really have to watch to see who's speaker and who's chairman of the committees.
Yeah. I mean, there are going to be some there are going to be some good ones. I know we won't know till they're officially named to be the chairman, but there are a couple I'm looking for good things to happen with. Elijah Cummings at government oversight. You better believe it.
Oh, wow.
Maxine Waters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Raul Grijalva at Natural Resources, you better believe it.
So these are all people of color, and they're going to subpoena Trump.
Yep.
So basically get your popcorn.
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily going to subpoena him, Megan, but they're going to subpoena everything about him.
Which is probably going to make him run for the bathroom every 5 minutes. Not that I'm crying, but
if his blood pressure stays at 250 over 150 for the next 2 years, that ain't my problem. That's his problem.
And from people of color, no less, because we all know what his attitude is toward those.
Oh, the filthy attacks on the African American female reporters last week was simply disgusting. Just disgusting. But at any rate, Megan, I'm gonna run here because we got folks dinging the line you're on. You started a conversation, whether you meant to or not.
Okay, glad I could help, Bob. Thank you.
All right, you have a good.
And, I feel better.
And there's lots of stuff for you to listen to. You don't have to turn on the terrestrial radio. It won't do you any good.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you, Bob.
All right, later now. Bye. It's our buddy Megan. Journeyman. The word journeyman comes to mind. Lee writes, Ed Till. That is a long list of cities he worked in. Can't he hold down a job? Oh, that's the Johnny Fever looking at the coffee mug, trying to figure out what his name is in that city. We've got that. Whoever that was dinging the stress line, that's open right now. By the way, Steve, noon to 2 or 3, Majority Report with Sam Cedar. They have an app or you can watch on YouTube, Megan. So we're at the halfway point of the program this Moran Monday. We haven't even gotten to the Morans. I mean, all of them. But the fact of the matter is, like I said, halfway through, and we had $175 to raise this evening. And it would be nice if we could take some or all of that down. It was very kind of Joan help us take that down by another $25 on Friday. So since we had reached our goal on Friday, I applied that to this evening. So if anybody'd like to take that down, $25, $30, well, our $175, that'd be great. Because, bills and living. Yeah. Let's check in real quick with Scott. Hey, Scott.
And then let me take a sip of my El Cheapo coffee. Why not? That's great coffee.
Oh, I can tell.
Yeah. Hi, Chirps. Chirps has been very chatty today. Boy, that is a list of stickers on Ed Till's suitcase. Listen. L.A., Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, Atlanta, Long Island, New Orleans, Seattle, Portland, and other cities. Good God Almighty.
The only thing that's not on there is Beckley.
Yeah, that boy's done everything in announcing, except maybe departures and arrivals at the Greyhound bus station. Jesus.
In Cucamonga.
Or the Attention Kmart shoppers. Another blue light special. Jesus, is Kmart even around?
There might be two or three left. I think.
Good God. Don't get me started on the dismal state of radio.
Every now and then you'll find one that's still independently owned. It's usually right wing, though. Yeah. But they're fun to listen to. Out there, just out there in the hinterlands doing whatever they can. There's one of those over toward, I think, Buckhannon Weston in West Virginia. It was like a year ago or so. I was driving up to Morgantown. Maybe it's 2 years now. Yeah, it probably was 2 years. Driving up to Morgantown, and it was the most psychotic playlist I'd ever heard. I think I heard him go from Barry Manilow's Mandy into Iron Man. I swear to Jesus, I think I did.
Mm. Jeez. By and large, and there are a few rare exceptions, depending on where you live, but as a general rule, terrestrial radio has nothing for you if you're a person of our ilk. And if you can't find anything on like TuneIn or other forms of streaming radio, there's always something adventurous and earnest to listen to on any of the Pacifica stations, like KPFK or KPFW, I think, in D.C., or the one up in Berkeley. You know, there's a lot. Hell, if all else fails, just drive in silence. Be with your thoughts for a few uninterrupted moments.
Well, you know, there was a time when I owned a fine piece of German engineering. And I spent a lot of money way back in the day putting a kick-ass stereo in it, you know, Rockford Fosgate amp under the seat and everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that thing would rattle windows the county away.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with the sound of that box, that six-cylinder boxer engine in the back of the car, and hardly ever turned the stereo on.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the soundtrack of life in ambient silence or silent ambience can be a refreshing change of pace. You know, just be alone with your thoughts for 20 minutes a day, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know whether it was Megan or whether it was Darlene, but almost a week ago on the midterms election night front porch, one of the participants got into the area of the problem with the size of the House of Representatives not growing with the rest of the country. That is to say, in terms of the number of representatives. And I haven't read them yet, but there are two links in that I saw on the New York Times webpage. And like I say, I haven't read them yet, so I can't really vouch for them, but they're very intriguing titles. One of them is America Needs a Bigger House. And the other one is A Congress for Every American. And the gist of that, according to the little slug line, is one way to improve the people's house, elect multiple members per district. So there might be some good information for whoever it was who was wondering about what to do about the size of the membership of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, of course, and if you, okay, here's our little civics moment.
Yeah.
The framers of the Constitution, and you remember that, and it may be apocryphal, but, you know, Washington saying that that the House would be the teacup and the Senate would be the saucer into which we would pour the boiling hot tea so that the passions could cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the fact of the matter is, though, they had this problem in 1787, Scott. They had this problem called, do you care to fill in the blank?
Oh, I don't. It could be.
It's the same problem that bedevils every other part of the attempt to form a government in 1787. They had this little problem called
moneyed interests.
No, slavery.
White power.
Slavery. Slavery.
Slavery, yeah. Well, that's part of moneyed interests if you carry it out.
And so you come up with two senators for every state, so that you've got something approaching significantly unequal enough representation that the slavers can be kept happy. And then they set up the House on a population basis, but the slavers said, well, wait a minute, we're going to be completely run over because we ain't got that many white people, but hey, we got a lot of slaves. And they said, well, all right, if you'll ratify the Constitution, we'll declare that every one of your slaves is three-fifths of a human being for the purposes of counting the population of your state. All right.
Yeah.
And so by the time John Quincy Adams, who is the only one who ever did it, by the time John Quincy Adams vacates the presidency and gets himself elected to the House of Representatives, they had put a rule in the House
that said, ain't nobody never going to bring up no abolition of slavery in here, no how, no ways, nuh-uh. Which, of course, then caused John Quincy Adams to say, the hell you say, and introduced an abolitionist bill for which he was then censured. The entire structure of the American government was made a mess of by the need to placate people who wanted, insisted upon, owning other people.
And
if that's the case, then maybe we could actually start thinking about revamping the Congress and to a certain extent revamping the government to erase the last filthy vestiges of the racism that still infects our government.
Well, that was going to be my next notion. You know, it's too early. They haven't even finished counting ballots yet in all places from this last go round. But, you know, outside of the bump up in participation, we will still be, voters will still be outnumbered by apathetic, couldn't care less. It's redundant. Apathetic, ignorant, non-voters. That is the biggest untapped voting block or power block in America. And I tend to think that to the extent you can get fuller participation by intelligent, responsible people casting votes, the results have to show up in the form of intelligent, effective, competent senators and legislators and people on all in places of responsibility in all levels of government. You know, from dog catcher on up. Now people say, well, yeah, but you run the risk of crazies getting involved. Well, yeah, but I still think that we outnumber, sane folks outnumber insane folks. Because if there were more insane folks, more shit would be coming down, and you could hardly turn around without running into mayhem. And there are large pockets of the large sprawls in this country where that is simply not the case. People you find this in every apartment rental lease in America, the phrase quiet enjoyment. All across America, in most places, there are people experiencing quiet enjoyment of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, quiet enjoyment is also is a term that is most often attached to the phrase property. The right to quiet enjoyment of one's property. But the problem with your thesis, Scott.
And there's always a problem with my thesis.
Jesus. Let's start in
rub some ointment on it. Maybe it'll stop being problematic.
I'm sorry. Donald Trump has all the emoluments. And he rubbed them on Russian. And he rubbed them on Russian hookers.
Oh no! You'd think they'd come up with something to put in his hair and makeup that would.
No, they can't because it's just
rainproof.
No. It's just one hair, Scott.
It's like a pack of dry ramen, a brick of dry ramen, could very well be one.
It's
noodle.
Just if one it, noodle. Yes.
If they didn't break it up on the assembly line.
So let's start in Texas. Let's start in Texas.
Yes.
In Texas.
The extrusion process must begin somewhere. So, yes, let us start with Texas.
In Texas, there's this this Confederate monument on private property. But there's public property right by it, and some people decided to protest the existence of the monument. Okay? One of them was a guy named Jeremy Parzon, who shot the video. They're standing there quietly engaging in some First Amendment protest when a maggot approaches. Cue the maggot.
is free speech. We can stand.
Now, time out, because he was a long way away. They saw him coming, so they started recording. What gives y'all the fucking right to be protesting America? Now, remember, this is a Confederate.
Well, this is a stupid question.
This is a Confederate monument, okay?
Yeah.
It's not an American monument. It's a Confederate monument.
On this corner.
Do y'all even have a permit to be out here?
We don't need a permit.
Yeah, you do.
No, we don't.
We don't, actually.
I'm recording you. I'm just letting you know.
I don't care if you're recording me or not. Y'all need to leave this place.
No, we don't have to leave.
It's people like y'all that are destroying America's history.
Okay.
It's actually the Confederacy's history, but it never.
Is it history or heritage?
It's your damn dumbass Democrats.
Why are you so angry, sir?
Because of stupid idiots like y'all.
Well, why does this make you so angry?
This don't make me angry. I take pride in that.
I'm not talking about that.
He takes pride in that Confederate memorial.
Talking about two people standing on a corner.
Because it's dumbass Democrats. Look what y'all are doing to our country. Y'all are a bunch of damn idiots. You're trying to destroy our heritage. You're tearing down monuments. Because y'all's beliefs.
Yeah, their beliefs. That, you know, like slavery was wrong. And that slavery's evil. And want to do something with some monuments to, you know, something that was wrong and evil and slavery.
Y'all don't give a damn about nobody's beliefs, but you damn out own dumbasses. Y'all are fucking idiots. And you don't deserve to be in this goddamn country. You don't like it? Take your ass on.
You feel better?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'd feel better if you goddamn Democrats would go to hell. That's what I would feel better.
That's not
y'all
gonna
happen. Pieces of shit, and you're out here. This is America's heritage.
No, again, it's a Confederate monument. It is specifically anti-American, but, you know.
And you don't have a right to try and destroy it. And that's all you stupid son of a bitch is trying to do. You're worthless. You're shit. You don't like us? Get the fuck across the border. Fuck y'all.
Jesus loves you.
Yeah, you damn right he does. Fucking hates you.
He fucking hates you. At which point he goes back to getting his trip. No, he's walking.
Oh, here we go.
Dumb bastard parked a good quarter mile away. I wish I was kidding. At some point in time, the internet will figure out who that racist son of a bitch is, and hopefully he'll lose his goddamn job.
Well, he summed it up, Bob. He summed it up quite right.
They're turning up America's history.
I've been to a goat roping, a cat house, and a county fair, and I ain't seen the like of un-American Americans like this group of hippies on that corner.
I know. It just beats cats fucking.
Love it or leave it. This is America. This is America, buddy. Love it or leave it. These colors never run.
Meanwhile, let's travel north to Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Oh, boy. Put on your cheese hat.
Where the class of 2019 senior boys took a group picture. They's all wearing their suits and their ties. And they thought it would be a fine idea to deliver the Sieg Heil salute. And then they were, Baraboo Proud, welcome to Baraboo, at Go Baraboo on Twitter, using the hashtag, Baraboo Proud, bragged, we even got the black kid to throw it up. Notice it's the black kid.
Yeah, singular.
Like, you know, one fleck of pepper in a sea of salt. Yeah, I'd be putting my right arm up too, baby. Because otherwise, well, but there is one kid in the middle who makes the white power symbol with his palm outward and using his right hand. It was taken at junior prom. posted as part of the group shot from that special evening. Mm-hmm. It then turns out that school has a history of racism and anti-Semitism. At which point the school district chimed in, Scott. You can almost predict the content of this. The photo of students posted to hashtag Baraboo Proud is not reflective of the educational values and beliefs of the school district of Baraboo. The district will pursue any and all available and appropriate actions, including legal, to address.
Where the hell is Baraboo? I don't have my Wisconsin map in my head, as I should.
Up north.
Oh. No, I was just going to say about Wisconsin, based on what I do know about the place. I've never been there, but it seems to me that it has a very interesting history in terms of political mindsets. If memory serves, that was where the foundations of the progressive movement were forged.
Why, yes, you're right.
And also, some years later, there was a great American, I guess mostly Germanic, but other folks besides, pro-German delegation in the run-up to World War II.
Oh, by the way, I am geographically wrong. I am so wrong. Baraboo is actually down south central-ish.
Is it near a major population center, or is it just kind of...
No, I mean, a little farm country there. It's probably, what, maybe a couple hours' drive from Madison?
Yeah, okay. But on the other hand, culturally, Wisconsin gave us, well, politically, Joseph McCarthy, but also gave us Tom Snyder and Jeffrey Dahmer. So it's like a real Duke's mixture of interesting dynamics. And I believe, I said Michigan, I meant Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I believe, also gave us Les Paul, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, it's in the general Wisconsin Dells area, which is a beautiful part of the country. But here's the larger question. Here's what I want to know. How is it that a group of boys going to the junior prom think the coolest thing they could do would be to give the fucking Nazi salute?
Well, I've seen...
Because, I mean, this isn't like five or six kids. This is the entire junior class of boys Sieg Heiling.
Well, you said the school has a history of pro-white, anti-Semitic hijinks. That's the word they like to use. But it does seem a little... It does... Who the hell knows, Bob? I mean... People are wired so strangely today.
Yeah, but see, I okay. I mean, and I'm not arguing, okay. But this isn't people being wired strangely. This is 16, 17 year old boys. Find me another time in American history since 1945. When a group of 16, 17-year-old boys would say, hey, y'all, we're taking a group picture for junior prom. Everybody give the Heil Hitler salute.
Well, I mean, they could learn it from home.
That says a shit ton about Baraboo.
Well, no. Look, Bob, I mean, let's face it. Wisconsin is not the hotbed of progressivism that it once was, if it ever was, really. I mean, who knows? It didn't kick in the way it should have, although there were forces aligned against it. And it wasn't all that long ago, in the grand scheme of things, that the likes of Joseph McCarthy was elected by the fine people of Wisconsin as their U.S. senator. I mean, there are mindsets that die off slowly, as the guy in the pickup truck that we heard from earlier gave good example of. I mean, this guy, I don't like to make fun of people who are challenged.
Well,
in any
no,
way.
But wait, here's where I was. This is the reason for my question. By the way, it's 1 hour northwest of Madison. Thank you, Flavio. I thought it was a late.
You can find a lot of stuff in a 1 hour drive. The space of asphalt that encompasses.
Yeah, but here's what I'm getting at. I asked specifically how 16, 17-year-olds think that's a cool thing to do. If you recall my conversation, maybe you weren't listening that night. If you recall my conversation with Dave Nywert, who is the single most informed expert on the rise of right-wing hate in this country.
Yeah, I did hear that.
He pointed out that they're very good at recruiting kids. Okay? And they do it in games, and they do it in social media, and
music,
and sometimes mommy and daddy, no matter how hard they try. I mean, there was a time when I had to explain the fucking Holocaust here with our kids. It's not like I was suppressing it or anything. It's just that... As a parent, I didn't, but lo and behold, there are kids down in the school system in this tiny little town in West Virginia who think Adolf Hitler wasn't such a bad guy.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. The caliber of textbook and
back in the 90s when Robert Byrd got the one of the FBI offices relocated to West Virginia, there was a cadre of Nazis who got busted trying to figure it, but putting together plans to bomb it. And the guy who was the head Nazi in West Virginia lived in the shitty little county where I lived.
Mm.
And the circuit judge who held court in that county collected fucking Nazi memorabilia. I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not, because I know from my own life experience that there are pockets, rather entrenched pockets, of this type of vicious intolerance all across America. There was a guy, I can't think of his name, north of here. North of San Diego, he was a white Aryan nation type. He was a TV repairman in his day job until I guess they made TV so reliable that they're more disposable than repairable by lay people today. And I can't remember his name. He ended up in Idaho or somewhere where they all go eventually. Not to, you know, besmirch Idaho, but it is a hotbed of...
It is what it is.
That L.A. detective that got caught...
Yeah, Mark...
Furman. Yeah, he ended up there. I mean, yeah, it's a... You talk about states I'll never enter. Catatonic is one that I hope never to enter, and Idaho is another, you know? I mean, that's...
You have, however, crossed the state line into the hallucinogenic state once upon a time, yes.
Oh, yeah. That, as a matter of fact, the siren call of that adventure echoes just now as I think about it. Because, sometimes it will heighten your experience of the present reality and enhance it. And, God, if we could... If there's a reality that deserves some enhancement, it's the one that we're dancing in today, you know? But I don't dare. Good God. I don't want it to be any more bizarre than it is, because it's so bizarre that all of my forays into hallucinogenics in my wayward youth did not prepare me for this current manifestation of bizarreness. I mean, come on.
Sure.
Could I veer I go?
Okay. Yeah, veer.
Okay, I wanted to bring this up. Only, I am somewhat astounded on some level, because it looks as if things are playing out the way I said they probably could. Okay, in terms of the Democratic performance in the U.S. House. And just think of this for a moment, okay? 198 Republicans at last count won seats. 227 Democrats won seats out of a 435-member House. And there are 10 races yet to be decided, many of them in places friendly toward advancements by Democrats. And so far, the Democrats, by my count, have gained 32 seats. There are 10 left to decide, with a favorability leaning toward Democrats prevailing in those 10 decisions. And I said a couple of weeks ago, I guess 2.5 weeks ago now, that my fearless forecast was we would flip 37 seats. And we ended flipping 32 so far. So I'm very happy that I was right.
Your magic eight ball's doing better than mine is.
Well, I'm hoping that we get at least 5 or 6 of those remaining 10. And I will be a happy camper, because they're loaded for bear or for elephant in this case, judging from the earlier conversation about the possible chair people of these committees, where the Democrats are not fooling around on the House side this time around. They're Howard Beale mad, and they're not crazy mad. They're quite focused and rationally mad. And, you know, I hope that plays out responsibly. Because you know how we Democrats will sometimes get, you know, when we have our opportunity.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And the thing is, what I'm worried about, and it's part of what took up some of the conversation Friday evening, is our ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going for.
But there are people on hold and people dialing. It looks like a fairly busy Monday here, Scott, so I will roll along. Enjoy your coffee.
I will, and I'm in the afterglow, you know? It's almost like post-coital, you know, having that cigarette in the afterglow and then the snuggle time.
You know, I really enjoy our conversation, Scott, but I don't want to think about you with an afterglow.
No. I'm not speaking you physically or sexually. I'm thinking in terms of just the warm, fuzzy feeling in the afterglow of good jobs done across the board by a lot of our Democrats in an unfriendly environment. That just suits me. It makes me very happy. And that was the only simile that I could come up with. You know, after all these months, almost 2 years now of this asshat, you know, in charge of things, and his cohorts and supporters and apologists, okay, his enablers, it's nice to have one. It's nice to have a few days in a row where it's just nice, where we can see a little light in all the darkness. That's really all I was saying.
I understand.
All right, man. Take care, right. And goodbye, and have a good rest of your Monday.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Take care.
See ya.
Yeah, by the way, Jenny in Wisconsin says you really need to work on your Wisconsin accent. And, yes, Les Paul was from Waukesha. Okay, it's just my generic upper Midwest, you know, mostly Minnesota accent, but yeah, I get it. A reminder from Steve in New York. Marge shot. She placed a Nazi armband on her Christmas tree, too. She remarked, Hitler was good in the beginning, but he just went too far. Yep. Jack in Shreveport. Thanks a lot, Scott. Thanks for bringing the thought of Ted Cruz and Afterglow and boogers into my head. Yeah, see, that I got scarred too, Jack. I mean, sorry, man. Flavio follows up on the Baraboo business, noting that October 30th, you know, 13 days ago, 14 days ago, in Sauk County, S-A-U-K, where Baraboo is, people woke up to find that they had been flyered with Nazi-ish paraphernalia, flyers with links to websites that promoted anti-Semitic racism. Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Spring Green mailboxes. Wisconsin Dells cars were found with flyers on them. This came in the immediate aftermath of the shooting at Tree of Life Synagogue. Russ Scheider, who found a flyer in his mailbox, said, it's here. We're part of this mess. Those people who are doing this are feeling empowered right now. It's intimidating. The postmaster, Karen Kaler of Baraboo, said, by the way, it's illegal to put anything in a mailbox that doesn't have postage on it. The community responded by putting signs in yards that says, hate has no home here. One wonders if the photograph of the kids at the junior prom, the boys at the junior prom, was that before or after this incident. Yeah. 7 minutes past the hour. We had $175 to raise this evening. We still have $175 to raise this evening. Let's keep going and run back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, lovey. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. How about you?
Oh, I'm sort of under the weather these days.
Did you did you have a little bit of a relapse, Jim?
I haven't been home since June.
I know you haven't.
Just lots of stuff going on. As a matter of fact, I'm at your old alma mater, and I've got to have some evaluations on Wednesday.
Wait, you're up at Harvard on the Mon?
I am. As a matter of fact, my window opened right up on the football field from here, and I saw a marvelous game Saturday, and I don't even like football.
Oh, but I realize you'd rather not be there, but had you ever seen the likes of something like that?
No, not really.
That's a hell of a crowd there at Mountaineer Field.
Yeah, it is. I was quite amazed. I was glad I was behind. I was 7 stories up and behind a lot of glass. I didn't know if somebody might take a pot shot or whatever.
Well, I hope they can hurry up and get you home, but if you should happen to be there a week from this coming Saturday, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Really? Well,
because the Oklahoma University Sooners will be paying a visit in the final game of the season, that which, if the Mountaineers manage to beat Oklahoma State next week, will be basically for all the marbles.
Well, that's good. By the way, we just picked up a Senate seat in Arkansas.
Wait, what?
We just picked
a U.S. Senate seat?
Yes, sir.
Or a state Senate seat?
U.S. Arkansas.
Okay, let me look in on that.
At least they gave me something that made me hallucinate. I do believe I saw this nice woman with a dog on her sofa, and they were congratulating her upon her victory.
No, it's a state Senate seat.
It is just a state senate seat.
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the way it was coming across on C-SPAN, it was a federal. I don't know, somebody made a mistake there. Well, I said, well, this is too good to be true. But I think we did pick up three. We've already picked up more three House seats, I believe, haven't we?
Oh, no, we're doing quite well, and there's a chance we may yet pick up more.
Well, that's good. How about that business in Georgia?
The Brian Kemp is screaming and calling Stacey Abrams an enemy of democracy, even though all she's doing is insisting that the votes be counted. They're doing the same thing in Florida. Rick Skeletor Scott is hollering for Bill Nelson to concede when they're not even done with the count.
Well, you know, I was listening to Greg Palast the other day. He was on one of the radio programs on the Hotel of Las Vegas, and he said that in Georgia, that this Secretary of State in Georgia, Kemp, had disallowed 338,000 people's votes.
Oh, he's been a vote suppressing machine since he got into office 4 years ago.
Yeah, and of course, you know, they used to have to account for that, but they sort of changed the law and they've given secretaries of state.
What did it end, Jim? Was when John Roberts declared that there was no such thing as racism anymore. And removed the oversight of the Voting Rights Act from states that had a long history of, you know, suppressing and otherwise trying to prevent people from voting.
That's it.
I mean, as we watch the recount in Georgia, it would be well that we remember that that Brian Kemp wouldn't be getting away with this if John Roberts hadn't trashed the Voting Rights Act.
Well, I hope that lady will win, and I hope they can get rid of all that trash in Florida. That would definitely be a feather in one's cap, would it not?
You would hope, yeah. Absolutely. Well, how are you feeling, Jim?
I feel okay. I mean, I have a tumor board on Wednesday, so they've got to take a look at some things. So, you know. As well as one can be, but I mean, hell, that's life.
And and by the way, just because I know you're following it, the announcement just came through that Kristen Sinema has officially won the her Senate race in Arizona. She defeated it, and so that would make up for the loss. Let's say that makes up for the loss in North Dakota. We need another one to make up for the loss in Indiana. Need Bill Nelson to win. And, well, there is still the matter of what's going on in Mississippi, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or not, but this is a real Lulu. The candidate for, there's a runoff, okay? There's a runoff in Mississippi.
Yeah, I understand that.
And a woman named her last name is Hyde Smith.
Okay.
And she was at an event where and she decided to open her mouth, and it didn't play well.
Really?
Yeah, there's a train going by. It makes it kind of hard to hear. But she was there's a man standing with his arm around her, and you'll be able to hear this.
Oh no!
And
I just let some of the people here listen to one of your things when you were doing all these imitations of your voice, and they said, "Who in the name of God is that?" And I just told the resident, I said, "What are you, alumnus?"
Damn Skippy. So Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith is in a runoff against Mike Espy, who is an African-American man.
Yeah.
And she uttered the following words. I told you there was a train. And the white people just kind of clap and laugh and titter a little bit. Well, what she said was, of the fellow she was standing with, remember, her opponent is a black man. She said,
yeah.
If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row.
Would you run that by me again, please? Just in plain English.
If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Okay. That sounds familiar with a lot of people I've been hearing say that about a lot of people these days.
Well, God Almighty, you know, there's just some things you don't say. And maybe making a lynching joke in 2018 is one of them.
No, it's not. It never really was. Particularly this person who was the subject of the exercise.
Well, no kidding.
I mean?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something funny that's totally road related to this. Things, even in hospitals, things happen that are really funny. And back when I was over at Bar Age in Bakley.
America's fifth smallest radio market, yes.
And they decided to just, well, I said, I think I need to come over here. And I had this nurse, she was a rather hefty girl named Haley. And she was just as nice as she could be and just real slow moving. And she was rather large. I mean, she was a big girl. And so she was in my room. And she was came in there and gave me my vitals, but she has to drag all these, you know, machines in there, the ones that dispense the medicine, and then the ones that take your vitals. And she had one of these blue, you know, these, they have these blue uniforms, and her pants fell down.
Oh, dear.
I looked up and I said, Haley, 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 and I could see them drop. She had them, no underwear. And I said, Haley,
oh, no.
Haley. I said, I put my hands over my face, and she said, well, I guess you've seen it. And I said, yeah. And she had a rose tattooed on one cheek. And I just said, I've always wanted to see the great. I said, I've flown all over this country, but I've never seen the Great Continental Divide.
God Almighty, Jim, even in the hospital, you remain incorrigible.
It wasn't my fault. I had nothing to do with it. I was just pulled him up and said, you know, let's see about your blood pressure now. I'm sure it's probably a little abnormal. He said, you think so? It was, you know, being in the hospital was so fun, but...
No, it's not, and...
You do have a few glimpses of laughter, and you make some friends among the people who are there to take care of you, and the same thing is here up at Ruby, and, this is my second trip up here, so, you know, it's just one of those things that happen in life when you get to be in a certain age. And,
well, I'll tell you what, a week from Saturday, you want me to bring up a bottle of Chivas and maybe the bong with the stirrups and the aquarium pump, and we can watch a football game together?
I don't know if I'll be able to. I'm not sure. But anyway, I thought I would just have a talk to you in a month or so.
No, it's been a couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it's been longer than that. I think. I don't know. But anyway, it would appear as though things have changed a lot politically since we last talked. And it would appear to me as though I think Mr. Trump is...
I know you're a veteran, and it's probably not good for you to get your blood pressure up, but what he did in France and what he did today is absolutely unforgivable.
Well, I knew the reason he didn't go that memorial was because he didn't want to get that head wet.
Yeah, he I referred to him over the weekend as our watercolor president. He runs in the rain.
But the next day I saw him, and he had really gone overboard on the spray tans. I called the nurse in my room, and I said, I want you to look at this man. I said, you know more about makeup than I do. She said, my God, what is wrong with him? I mean, the
Everything.
Monkey eyes. But just a minute. The monkey eyes was so out of sorts that, you know, he didn't even look like he didn't look human. I mean, he really looked as though he was, had painted he was just covered with rouge and whatever, that spray tan and that other crap that he wears. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I think he had a bit of a sticky wicket over there in Paris. Did you watch the ceremony they did at the Arc de Triomphe?
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought it interesting that they played Ravel's Bolero. And, you know, that was very interesting. And they did a very good job with that.
Yeah, I think Wagner would have been in poor taste.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Ravel's Bolero, that didn't say.
But the best line of it, it was a line from the pundit and wag, Rick Wilson, who said, in life, try to find somebody who looks at you like Donald Trump looks at Vladimir Putin. Because that photo of Macron and Merkel looking daggers at Putin while Trump looks at him like he's carrying a box of chocolates and a dozen roses, my God.
Yeah, I know. My lawyer sent me a picture of himself in bed with his cat. And honestly, God, I told him, you've got to let me have that because I can use it for advertisement. That's the best photograph I've ever seen of a man and his cat. And they both were asleep, and he did it as a selfie. And the cat is lying there with both paws up in the air, and he's lying there pretending to be asleep, but you can't see the arm with the selfie. And I'll try to, well, maybe I can send you a copy of it. I don't know when I'm going to be. I do have a laptop here, but I've not been able to do any emails and stuff like that. Mainly, I've been watching your Texas Blue Dot. How is brother John anyway? Has he gotten over his cold, or?
I think he's bouncing back. Mainly right now, he's trying to get over Beto losing, but Beto put up a good fight. By the way, Scott in San Diego says for Jim, sending all manner of positive and healing energy. Thanks for the laughs; those can be beneficial for the sender and the recipient.
Well, tell Scott I said the same to him. He's always been very kind to me on this show, and I've always appreciated Scott and what he's had to say. He doesn't get on there and just, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, a lot of people will have a way of uttering a lot of nonsense that are not necessarily your show, but, you know, basically what he says is very substantial. It always has been. And very well ordered. He builds his conversations quite well. And they're easy to follow. And so, yeah. But it's been... 2018 has sort of been my annus horribilis. And it is a time upon which I will not view with undiluted pleasure. I can assure you of that. And so I guess Wednesday we'll see what we have to do from that point forward. And you never know.
No, well, keep us posted, Jim, please.
Well, I try, and I will try, and I best let you go. And they're going to, let's see. Oh, I introduced the people out here to the Texas Blue Dot. They just couldn't believe him. And they asked me, what about keeping your earplugs plugged in? Because we can hear this man swearing all over the place. He just went, oh, my God, who is this? And one guy said, is that a ZZ Top? I said, no, it's just a good old Texas Blue Dot, Yellow Dog Democrat. But, you know, the kindest picture I've seen of him is with Jenny. Now, she is truly a beautiful animal.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And you can see the look in his eyes that he really loves that mule.
I think she's a donkey, but...
Is a donkey, whatever, yeah. But anyway...
There's a donkey and a goat. I know that much.
Yeah, you best wear steel-toed cat shoes around her now.
Oh.
That's for sure.
No doubt about it. Jim, I hope things go well for you, and I hope we'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, okay. Well, you take care.
All right, you too. Just cooperate and try not to make pants fall off, all right?
I had nothing to do with that, Bob.
Don't lie to me. I know what it's like when you use your Sith powers, okay?
And I was thinking about one word when I saw that rose. And I want to finish the list. And that is the word you have, and Muffy.
Mm-hmm. Jim, take care. Remain incorrigible. Bye now.
Goodbye, Muffy.
The incorrigible Jim calling from the Ruby Medical Center up at Harvard on the Mon. And there's Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fine. And, LA's on fire. Fortunately, I'm nowhere near it. But
LA's
I'm
on fire and Donald Trump's disgusting. And yes.
Yeah. I mean, saying that it's our fault for fires. It's like, it just fucking boggles the mind. This prick.
Well, if he came to L.A., would he be allowed to bring his hair product with him? Because that shit's flammable, isn't it?
Isn't that shit flammable? So, I hope he, once everything is set, because the main fire, the one that's in L.A. County, last I heard, it was only 15% contained. The one in up in Ventura County, it was 65% contained. And I have no idea about what's happening up in Butte County, Sacramento, where the whole town is gone. Not just like maybe one or two houses. The entire fucking town is gone. And I think last count, 24 people are dead just up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's our fault, because of, mismanagement of the forest when, first of all, it's not a forest fire.
No, it's not. And second of all, climate change. Thank you.
Climate change. And third of all, even if it had been a forest fire, this motherfucker's the one that cut the budget for, forest management. Oh, and by the way, California only owns 2% of the forestry in this state. The rest is national forest. So there.
Otherwise known as federal.
Thank you. It just doesn't. It just can't.
But see, Tracy, you're using your rational faculties to try to understand the actions of an irrational, psychotic man.
That's true. And I try to not get so involved. But then, you know, when you, you know, when I know people who have, you know, I don't know, like the young Penny, the girl that I take home, you know, I drive, she lives in Agora. Jake, this so happens that on Thursday when the fire started, her mom and her, she had a doctor's appointment in L.A. So they left not even knowing what was going on and stayed in L.A. because of her doctor's appointment on Friday. Agora still evacuated. Of course, there was no school today because of Veterans Day. School is closed tomorrow. We're waiting to find out what's happening for Wednesday. But if it's anything like it has been up in Northern California, they decided just to close the schools until after the Thanksgiving holiday. Because it's, at this point, it might not even be, make any sense for kids to even come back to school this week. It's just that bad. So, yeah, it, you know, that and then the bullshit, you know, that he pulled in Paris, the bullshit that he pulled in here, you know, Arlington Cemetery. And it is such an embarrassment. You know, like you said, did you see the tweet, the Anna Navarro? I mean, she's a Republican, but I love her.
Yeah, you're just not going to like her when we get a Democrat in the White House again.
Yeah. No. But when it comes to how much she hates Trump, I love her. Other than that, you know, I can't be bothered. But the tweet that she's like, you know, had Obama decided to show up to Arlington Cemetery, there would have been a firestorm. People would have been, oh, my God, he's unpatriotic, blah, 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 you know, un-American, and And it just would have been a shitstorm had Obama pulled this shit. But Trump, silent. Song of Silence? This is to the Sound of Silence. Is that it? That's basically what's going on. Because no Republicans have called him out on that bullshit. But it's just okay. And then, you know, like I said, you know, I don't really watch Saturday Night Live. And just so happened, I didn't watch it, I guess, Saturday because, you know, what's his name? Pete Davidson made a joke about, Dan Crenshaw? And, you know, it was a bad joke, okay? And of course, NBC being NBC, decides to have Dan Crenshaw on SNL and, you know, Pete Davidson apologizing and all this. And the GOPers went crazy. We got tweets from Ben Shapiro, Ronna McDaniel, Meghan McCain.
Who, curious, none of whom, curiously, were particularly bothered by having the president disrespect 100 years worth of American military sacrifice. Never mind. Right.
And your girl from, isn't this your girl from the NRA, Dana Loesch? What? How do you pronounce her name? Loesch?
I call it Lush, but, you know.
Lush. Okay. She commented, this whole skit was great. Bravo. Well done. At Dan Crenshaw, Texas, and Pete Davidson loved the message of both sides coming together and also supporting veterans. Maybe Kelly chimed in. Good for at Dan Crenshaw, Texas, and SNL. A mistake, forgiveness, and healing moment. Bitch, you're not getting your job back. What's that mean?
If it was, then it is equally balanced by the following. You might want to get the hockey puck. By the way, you have been declared by Megan in the chat room. Your title is First Lady and High Priestess of Telling It Like It Is.
I love Megan. Thank you very much.
So going back to the shooting in Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, the day before, first we had the shooting on Wednesday, then the fires on Thursday.
This is Grant Stinkfield talking to something or someone called Cam Edwards there at the National Ruble Association. If you got the hockey puck handy, you might want to.
Well, no, I'm actually sipping on a frosty beverage called Winter's Dream. And it's Bob. It's from the Coffee to Tea Leaf, which I prefer over Starbucks anytime.
Yes.
Bob, it tastes like Christmas.
Ooh. Well, so you know, no spit takes. All right. Put down the cup and step away, Tracy, because you're not gonna like this.
Here we go.
You're not gonna like this.
There we go. Okay, I'm ready.
You know, Kev, we could talk all we want about the magazines and what capacity they are, and you and I both know none of that makes any bit of difference anyway. High capacity or not, they're going to be able to change out magazines very quickly. I think it's just a feel-good measure for people that don't understand guns and thinks that's somehow going to help. The bottom line is, once again, this was a bar. It was a gun-free zone. Now, a lot of states, including Texas, has a law that if it's a bar more than 50% alcohol sales, you can't carry firearms in there. You can debate the merits of that or not. I do believe that I have individual responsibility for myself, and I'm not going to carry a firearm if I think I'm going to be inebriated. But that's not to say I can't go sit at a bar, have a beer, and watch a football game and be okay to have my firearm.
Listen, we've got designated drivers in this country. I don't know why we can't have designated carriers. I enjoy a drink as well, but if I'm out with my family and I'm at a restaurant here in Virginia, we've got a similar law. Actually, now you can carry in restaurants. We don't have bars in Virginia, so you've got restaurants that serve alcohol. We changed our law a few years ago. It used to be that you couldn't carry.
Wait, there are no bars in Virginia? Time out.
Wait a minute. Excuse me, what? I mean, I've heard of dry counties, but not an entire dry state.
Well, I mean, maybe
that's
maybe,
not right.
Maybe there's a maybe. Maybe.
Wait a minute. Did he just say there are no bars in Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, you live in West Virginia, and there's bars in West Virginia, yeah?
No, very much so. Yes.
So, how are there no? I can't believe there's no bars in West in Virginia. I refuse to believe that.
Well, but we're not at the bad part. But remember, Greg Stinkfield wants to be able to take his penis extension with it. But what I loved was the line about how magazines don't make any difference. You know what makes all the difference in the world if you have to stop and reload after, say, 7 rounds versus after the first 30? Yeah, that makes a difference. But the part that's going to make you hoot like a barn owl is coming.
In restaurants that serve alcohol, now you can. Quite often, if I'm the one, driving my family out to dinner, I know I'm not drinking. So, yeah, I can legally carry, and I'm going to be fine with that. I think we need to have these discussions. And I'm happy to have that discussion right alongside the discussion of we need to ban these guns, we need to ban these magazines, we need this, that, or other gun laws. Let's also talk, though, as you say, about allowing people to protect themselves when right now they're utterly defenseless.
Yeah, and that's what's happened in California. The laws there have turned people into sheep. They are defenseless. They've disarmed everyone. You know, I talked to your good buddy and mine, Kurt Schlichter. He was a colonel for how many years in the National Guard, led men how to use firearms, trains them how to use firearms, and that man, who's an American hero, can't get a concealed carry permit in California.
Wonder why. But no, there it is, Tracy. The people who got slaughtered at the Borderline Bar and Grill, well, they got slaughtered because they're sheep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, just like the people, the Jewish people that got killed in the synagogue a couple of weeks back, it's their fault because they didn't have, armed guards or whatever the asshole in chief said. I can't stand these people. So because they got shot and killed because they're sheeple? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. That's just fucking hunky fucking dory. I remember when I can't find shit.
it's just sickening. I mean, there is no end. There's no end to the bloodthirsty sleaze of which NRA is capable. It just, damn. You know, damn. And I saw earlier today that Neil Young had gone after Julius Geezer after his shitty comments about the fire. Because, among other things, Neil Young lost his house. And, of course, the maggots were out making making fun of people who and laughing at people who lost everything. Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sitting here. I just pulled into my driveway. Why can't I find my fucking house key? This is what happens when you get to a certain age, Bob.
I'm at a certain age. I understand.
It is just... But, oh, so back to the whole thing real quick about the whole thing about SNL and, you know, the mea culpa to Crenshaw. So the article goes on and talks about, you know, okay, he made a lame joke, whatever, and this is fact that SNL took the bait to have his ass on, but they don't discuss his politics. That he's a teabagger, he's pro-gun, anti-abortion, anti-immigrant, and all that. You know, so really, if Pete Davidson really wanted to do a solid, he should have made fun of him because of that. I mean, no, it was probably a poor choice of things for him to make fun of him because of his eye patch. But you know what? When you're a public figure,
Root hog or die, tough hide lasts the longest. I was always taught.
Exactly. There, my kids. So it is what it is. Oh, and then so hopefully she didn't videotape me because this might go viral. You might see it. Hopefully you won't see an angry black woman video of me. But I was in a car accident it was a fender bender.
You're okay, though. You're okay, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. And this woman, I stopped at, you know, came to a complete stop at the stop sign. And, you know, what you do when you're about to turn into traffic, you look. And as I was looking to the right, there was oncoming traffic. So what do? You stop. So when I stopped, this woman just ran into me, you know, and I thought it was no big deal, but I heard the crunch. I'm like, fuck. So, you know, I'm like, okay, no big deal, you know. And I was kind of, I was pissed because, see, if I'm damaged, I can't work, you know. So
yeah.
That's problematic. So fortunately, there wasn't any damage or anything, but here's the deal. This woman tells me that it's my fault because I shouldn't have stopped.
Wait.
And that I don't know how to drive. But she ran into Bebop.
Rear-ended you, right?
So she ran into me.
Yeah,
but
I mean, did she T-bone you or rear-end you or what?
She rear-ended me.
Then it's her fault?
Yeah, it's her fault. But she said it was my fault because, obviously, I don't know how to drive, and I must have been lost because I shouldn't have stopped. You're not supposed to stop.
Where are you not? At the stop sign, you're not supposed to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now.
Mm-hmm. And I fucking lost it.
Uh-oh.
And she's telling me I need to calm down and all this. And I'm like, are you not understanding that if this car is so damaged that I can't work, then and however long it takes for me to get the car fixed. Yeah, so that was my day. But fortunately, the car, like I said, it wasn't a lot of damage and I could work. And I'm just waiting now for her insurance company, you know, to do the whole thing. It's just like, oh, I love my life.
Well, you might want to, California, I don't know, but you might want to hurry out and get your own estimates.
Already did. I did that. It's $1,500 to get, or $1,200 to get the car fixed. But it's not, like I said, I don't have to pay for it. So it is what it is.
Jesus.
That's my life. So anyway, I just want to say a quick hello. And I will, and Kimba's about to charge me, so I'm going to go because, you know, Kimba's, I'm home. So anyway.
Mama's home.
It was great talking to you.
It was wonderful talking to you. Say hi to Kimba. Say hi to Jan. You know.
I will. And have a great rest of the evening.
I'm going to try real hard. You too, Tracy.
All right, bye.
Hang in there, dear. Bye now. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver calling from L.A. Rear enders. But that's not at all unusual. I remember when my dad got, we were in our 1971 Chrysler Newport in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and a woman in a Pontiac Grand Prix with a fiberglass, pointed fiberglass front end rear-ended us. And she put a little tiny dent in that big old piece of Detroit iron. And right there by the to the trunk, and all that fiberglass on her Grand Prix just turned into foam. And Dad got out of the car, and I followed him, and I was just a little guy. And the woman that rear-ended us looked at my dad and said, "Mister, look what you've done to my car." Yeah, no. People are funny. So here we are. It's about 14 minutes before the hour. Moran Monday. Like I said, well, we've gotten through some of the Morans. Oh, yes, we most assuredly have. But we have more. There's something out there called the Abbeville Institute. They were founded in 2002. And they're one of those Southern tradition organizations. And they're having themselves a conference. These are real live, no kidding, honest to God, Moran Monday secessionists. Because it worked out so well the last time. They got together down in Texas. The Abbeville Institute has other organizational friends like, the League of the South. Because the guy who runs or who founded the Abbeville Institute, previously worked with the League of the South. They posted things like six reasons to love the Confederate battle flag. The conference was billed as the largest secessionist conference in America, called the Revival of Secession and State Nullification. Yeah. By the way, this past Friday, it was revealed that the guy who is in the Attorney General's office but is not legally the Attorney General, Hot Tub Whitaker, well, he's a big fan of nullification. Nullification came to prominence in the 1830s among some folks in South Carolina, Stan. And at the time, Andrew Jackson said that he was prepared to solve the nullification crisis by getting him a rope and riding to South Carolina and hanging the first nullificationist he saw and continuing to hang them until there wasn't none left. In 2014, nonetheless, Hot Tub Whitaker said, "Do I believe in nullification? I think our founding fathers believed in nullification. There's no doubt about that." What's kind of interesting is that the founding fathers were pretty clear that they did not believe in nullification. And so according to the guy who is sitting in the Attorney General's office but is not legally the Attorney General, Hot Tub Whitaker believes that the states can, and I'm not kidding here, ignore any federal law that it chooses to ignore. I wish I was kidding. I am not. Yes, morons. There's a bit of backlash against the remarks. I played you the clip when we were talking with Jim from Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, who said she would she thought so highly of the feller she'd be on the front row if he invited her to a public hanging. Well, later on, she said, when she got caught, mind you, in a comment on November 2nd, I referred to accepting an invitation to a speaking engagement. In referencing the one who invited me, I used an exaggerated expression of regard, and any attempt to turn this into a negative connotation is ridiculous. Asked by MSNBC, Mike Espy, her opponent, an African-American man, said, I have to confess to you, I've never heard that term of colloquialism. But then he said, her remarks again reinforce the stereotypes that we've been trying to get away from for decades, stereotypes that just continue to harm our economy and cost us jobs. I can't reach into her heart and determine why that came out of her mouth, but it was wrong. And then he made reference to the fact, Mike Espy did, that he sits on the board of directors of the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum. And he said, I know the history very well. At the museum, it's got a lynching or public hanging exhibit, and it's visceral and it's sobering. You just, when you go through that, it's got a list of every Mississippian from Reconstruction through the mid-60s that were lynched, and it's got their name and the allegations, you know, for that punishment. These comments from a sitting U.S. senator have harmed our state, and it's just, you know, we got to get beyond this now. It's 2018. We're now going into the third decade of our 21st century. It's time out for these types of comments, throwback comments. Well, yeah, and it's time to remove from government anybody who thinks it's okay to make those comments. But the problems are real in this country. An armed security guard named Jamel Robertson was working security at Manny's Blue Room Bar in Robbins, Illinois, in the wee hours of Sunday morning. And a guy who'd been kicked out of the bar earlier came back in with his freedom protector. And Jamel Robertson shot back at him, and he subdued him. Now, this guy's the security guard in the bar, pinned him to the ground. That's when a police officer from the Midlothian, Illinois Police Department showed up, at which point he immediately pulled his gun and blew away Jamel Robertson, because he thought Jamel Robertson was the assailant. Everybody in the bar was hollering, he's a security guard, he's a security guard. Witness Adam Harris told WGN-TV they basically saw a black man with a gun and killed him. Yeah. Young man put his own life on the line in a shitty job, probably working for minimum wage or less, maybe plus tips. and the police blew him away. That was Illinois. Let's go back down to Texas for a minute. We started the program talking about the Marines and the history of Belleau Wood. Keith Cote, C-O-T-E. He got arrested back in October 2017 when Keith Cote tried to hire a Marine, an ex-Marine, or a veteran, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, to kill his ex-girlfriend. Not his ex-wife, his ex-girlfriend. He wanted the Marine Corps veteran to kill the ex-girlfriend because she was dating a black man. Keith Cote went so far as to say, you know what, I'll pay you even more if I can watch. Yeah. According to Joey Sees, the Marine veteran, ...63-year-old Cote said he needed a dirty deed done dirt cheap and offered $10,000. Pulled it out of his pocket, laid it on the table. $10,000 to murder his ex-girlfriend. Said, I got another $15,000 if you let me watch you, if you let me watch you put a bullet in her head. The veteran went to law enforcement. He bailed out, the coat did. He bailed out after he was charged with soliciting to commit capital murder, but he put up a $1 million bond and committed suicide about a week later. According to the police affidavit, the ex-girlfriend said she stated that the only thing Mr. Cote hates more than a black man was a white woman who's with a black man. I think there's a misprint in the story. I don't think it's 2017. I think it's 2018. But Jesus Christ. No, it was 2017. KXAN had the story because for the first time the Marine veteran met the woman that Cote attempted to hire to kill him. Jesus. And then one last group of morons. At least it's not, there's no bloodshed or gunplay involved. It's just a matter of parents at a North Carolina high school who felt compelled to hold a prayer meeting because a traveling theater company came to their high school and did a play, and it's hilarious. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's wonderful. It's a two-person play called The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged. And when the parents found out that there was a same-sex stage kiss in it, because, you know, one of the guys was playing a woman and the other guy was playing a guy, Shakespeare. Well, they was all worried about the homosexuality breaking out at their high school. There at Mitchell High School in North Carolina. It the previous generations of high schools in North Carolina having apparently failed miserably because no one explained to the parents that at the time that Shakespeare's plays were produced, Shakespeare never saw a single one of his plays produced that had a kiss in it that was not a kiss performed by two men because women were not allowed on the stage. The guy, David Gee at Friendly Atheist, wrote, earlier reports suggesting the prayer circle was formed in response to inappropriate content, including suicide, alcohol consumption, and bad language, all of which you'd find in Romeo and Juliet, by the way. But a local resident informed me the real concern was over homosexuality. What people were actually upset about was the all-male cast and that two men shared a stage kiss. Mm-hmm. There may be more than two people in that play. Can't remember. It's been a while. But yeah. Because, you know, nothing brings on a big old case of the big old outbreak of the gay like some William Shakespeare. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. So that's it for this evening. Morons everywhere, and not a one to think. Titanic Tuesday rolls around tomorrow, and God only knows what we'll have by then. We started out with $175 to raise this evening. We are still at $175. That'll make it $375 tomorrow. Hopefully, we will remedy that. Maybe some of it will get remedied between now and then. If you'd like to be a subscriber, tomorrow's the lonely 13th of the month when only Gary and Gaia are our subscribers. If you'd like to jump in at $10, well, remember, you're setting yourself back a 30th of a cup of corporate coffee for that 16 cents per hour of programming that you're supporting the network with. Thanks to all of you who join in and keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging with the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thanks, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.